Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yes, we are going to be talking about fire safety this morning and some tips and tricks and maybe talk to some folks that can help us understand what's going on to stay perfectly safe inside of our home. I know I say this all the time, but, you know, fire safety obviously is every day, not just October, but it's a good reminder for all of us to be like, oh, yeah, right, because it's the kind of thing that we don't pay attention to. A hearty good morning to Lindsay and to Don and to Andy. How are we all doing this morning, everybody?
Good morning. Doing well.
Great.
Good morning,
we're,
Lou.
We're up. We're awake. What are you so surprised at?
I don't know.
A hearty
good morning.
A hearty good morning, right? I love the
soup.
Fall.
Hearty
this
good
is
morning
my
to
favorite.
You.
This I know that this is your favorite time of year.
I do love it.
Halloween is 30 days away or so, and that's one of your faves. So the harvest.
I'm already decorated.
I'm seeing all the pumpkins, and Andy's got his corn stalk out in front
yes,
of his place, right, Andy?
How'd you know? Did you drive by? Was that you yesterday?
I did. Okay. And I saw those squirrels climbing up, eating all that corn.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, hey, the squirrels love the Halloween decorations, that's for sure. They're going to eat those pumpkins and chew on them and everything. So anyway, it should be fun. It's a great time of year. And, as I mentioned, fire safety is something that we're going to talk about today. But I'm happy to hear from you this morning as well at 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's start with the basics as Lindsay gets some calls lined up. Number one, remember that smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors should be on every floor of your home. In particular, outside of bedrooms. And if you're not certain how old the unit is, they have a life expectancy of about 10 years. Now, that is, mitigated by their... Many times they have a sensor that if it's got a quick beep and you've replaced the batteries and it just keeps beeping, the unit's not working anymore. And the mistake that everybody makes is it keeps beeping, you get frustrated, you take the batteries out, and then you just leave it unprotected. And what's so sad is that you'll hear these stories on the news about some fire that occurred, and they'll say there was no working carbon or smoke detector out there, which is a huge problem. Please don't disable those detectors, in particular those of you living in apartments where maybe it's not your place and it's annoying, and then you're counteracting some very useful safety device to keep you safe. Now there's battery systems for smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors that last 10 years. So the beauty there is you just replace the whole thing. You mark down with a magic marker on the surface of it so you know what year you put it in there. Kind of my rule of thumb is when I put a new one up, I'll put the year that I installed it right there so I can see it with a black magic marker, a red magic marker, whatever it is, not behind it, so that it's a reminder every now and then. You're sitting on the couch, you look up at the smoke detector, and you know, and you're like, oh yeah, I put that in 2020, or I put that in 2019. And then, you know, 10 years from now, you replace the whole thing. So those are simple things. We'll talk a little bit more about other items that you should make sure are working in your home. The one other thing is the carbon monoxide thing. Remember, that's a silent killer. And I'm getting ready to do a spot on the Today Show coming up in the middle of the month. And one of the things we're going to do is talk about fire safety. And I was working with my brother-in-law, Peter, is a mathematician. And I was trying to, you know, anything more than 50 parts per million of carbon monoxide in a space is dangerous. But if I say that to you, 50 parts per million, like Lindsay, you're in a studio, you're in a room. And if I said, Lindsay, you know, if there's 50 parts per million of carbon monoxide in that room, you're going to start to get sick. That has no relevance to you whatsoever, right?
No.
So I said to Peter, I go, all right, so I need some kind of visualization. So I said, let's say I have a bag of peas, okay, like a bag of frozen peas. You can kind of visualize that, right? And I said, how many peas would I need to add to the bag to be 50 parts per million, right? What would you think?
Two.
If you had 10 bags of peas and you put one pea in there, That's 50 parts per million.
Interesting.
Right?
Hmm.
Right? Yeah, look, I just blew Don's mind.
Not a lot of peas. Doesn't take a lot.
Right? Right? But I mean, so in other words, you would think, oh, that's one pea in one bag? No, no, no. 10 bags, one pea.
Wow.
So it's like a tenth of a pea in one bag, and you're going to get sick. So make sure you have carbon monoxide detectors working, please. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. This is Sarah calling in from New Jersey. Sarah, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Oh, my God, you know. I just was answering, I want to know a question about batteries, regular batteries that you put in radios and things like that.
Sure.
Are the brand names better than the house brand and, that you buy in the store?
Well, if you talk to the brand name people, they'll tell you they are. But I will tell you that the big ones are like Duracell and Energizer. You know, those are the big brand names.
Yeah, right.
They do make some of those house brands, but that is not across all the boards. So, in other words, if you go to the hardware store, like an Ace Hardware. The uh-huh. Ace brand is made by Energizer.
I see.
So it's essentially the same battery. But if you go to, like, Target, or you go to, like, the dollar store, well, those batteries, you know, are not, those are manufactured somewhere else and are not as good. I'll tell you this. We were talking about, like, smoke detectors and stuff like that. You know, though.
Yeah, whatever you put in the radio.
Yeah.
In the
if you want, whatever you what put. I have mm-hmm. found is that those name brand batteries do last longer. And, you know, it they cost a fortune. I get it. But they do last longer. And I guess over the long run, if you're someone that's using some kind of device that needs a battery, you know, and I have a niece who is deaf and has hearing aids. And she, she swears by Duracell for her hearing aids. Those are tiny little batteries. Now, that is, you know, kind of a critical thing, obviously, to be able to hear. But, it's worth the effort, I think.
Which one would you say?
If I know I need something to last for a long time, I always buy Duracell batteries.
Duracell. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome. Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. All right, 877-213-4LU is our phone number. Our first caller, by the way, was sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. This is Ron calling in this morning from Rockford. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you doing today?
Fabulous. How may I help you, sir?
About 12 years ago, I had a paver patio and sidewalk installed. And I'm to the point where I want to get it cleaned up. So they're going to pressure wash it and put the new sand and whatever it needs to do that.
Okay.
They also want to seal it. And I'm just wondering if that's going to make it slippery or what you, do you recommend doing that or how you feel about
it? How many years ago did you do this?
About 12 or so.
Other than it being dirty... how does it look?
The pavers have dropped a little bit in a few areas, and they're gonna
fix up. They're gonna fix up. But I'm just talking about the overall surface of the material. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
I wouldn't seal it then. I'm not against the sealer, but let me answer your first question. You said, is it going to be slippery? No, it won't be slippery. The idea behind the sealer is that it's there to kind of fill in the nooks and crannies and keep the snow and the ice from getting inside there. But when you have a 12-year-old paver, you've already got some, not decay is the wrong word, but, you know, the porosity of the brick has gotten a little bit more prevalent. And so a lot of that sealer will get kind of soaked into the brick. And I don't necessarily know that you're going to gain a lot of upside from it. And the other problem with the sealer is that it's exactly how it sounds. It sits on the top, almost like a floor wax. And if it peels away or wears away, I have found that over time it traps more dirt. And so that, and so then the surface looks dirtier sooner. Have them fix it, have them clean it, have them put in the sand to keep it all together. I think you'll be super happy with the results, and don't do the sealer.
All right. Thank you so much. I was counting on your advice.
Well, I hope I don't steer you wrong. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Be well. 877-213-4LOU is the number. Let's talk with Marie, who's on the line. Hi, Marie. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
The bottom cement step of my front stoop has a half-inch gap where it meets the sidewalk. It runs straight across for 8 feet. I bought some half-inch backer rod and cement caulk, but when I looked at it yesterday, I can see gravel down, but there's too much space in order to do the backer rod and the cement caulk alone. Should I try to get some pea gravel or something to fill that space?
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, even that a half inch gap is pretty big for caulking. So
okay.
I don't know that that's so much material that if you put that in there, I think you're not going to be happy. It'll look great when you first get done, but as it expands and contracts, that would be problematic. What I would rather you do, now is it pretty consistent, like half inch, almost like a straight line?
Yeah, it really is, and it's a straight line where it runs across.
Okay.
So I was going to try to do it myself, but I'm going to have to get somebody, but I thought that's not going to work.
How deep would you say it is, Marie?
I would say maybe an inch or two. I'm just guessing because trying to look down in there in that hole.
So let's try this. There is a thing called expansion joint, which is designed exactly for this. And like the hardware store or a home center will sell this. And basically, it is a, that's not what it is, but it's a tar impregnated felt strip. And it's about 3/8 of an inch thick, okay? And if you put it on a table and laid it flat, it would be rectangular in shape, probably about 24 inches long, 24 to 30 inches long. And it's about, as I mentioned, about 3/8 of an inch thick, but then probably 2.5 inches tall. Now, maybe.
Okay.
So the reason I say this, if you wanted to do this yourself, maybe you could get somebody at the store, if they have a table saw, they could cut this down the length of it in half, right? So now we've got 1.25 by 1.25. Basically, you're going to get 2 pieces out of one that you buy. And then you're just going to tuck that in carefully using, you're going to tap it down there with like a little block of wood. You don't want to hammer it because it'll start to smash because it's felt, you know. But you're going to place.
I know what that is.
Okay. And then that's your.
Where they meet sidewalk or something.
That's what should be there. Then you don't have to caulk it. And if you get it flush with the sidewalk, you know, but depending on how you cut it, that'll look good and it'll hold up the best. And it'll allow the sidewalk to expand and contract.
So the material will be 3/8 of an inch when I, you know,
thick,
buy it.
It's about that. Yeah.
Cut for like 8 feet and then have two of them.
Well, you'll have multiple pieces because it doesn't come in 8 foot lengths. It comes in like 30 inch lengths. So you'll have to just do the math. Like, oh, if I cut this in half, I'll get 2 pieces. So you'll buy extra and whatever you have, you know, and when you get to the end, you know, what I would do is start in the center so that you have a center piece and then you'll have a seam when you keep going left and right. And then whatever you have left over on the end, you just have to cut that, and you cut it with a utility knife or a small little saw. I mean, you can definitely do this yourself if you get someone to cut it for you.
I'm 84 years old.
Well, you're 84 years old, and you're a spry lady that can get stuff done. You didn't get to be 84 years old by having people do stuff for you, did you?
Oh, no.
Right.
I didn't.
That age thing, what do they tell you, Marie? That age thing, it's just a number, right?
You know, that's the way I look at it. It's just a number as long as I can keep moving.
Guess who celebrated their 97th birthday yesterday? Former President Jimmy Carter. He's still out there swinging a hammer, building houses for Habitat for Humanity. God bless him.
Oh, dear.
Right. You got nothing on him. 84, 84, 84, you're going clubbing. Come on. All right, Marie, you got your marching orders, and I think that if you try this out or if you need help, obviously you can get someone to help you, but this is not a difficult thing to do. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 877-2134-LOU. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back after this. So, you know, my daughter's down in New Orleans, and she's working at Flamingo Agogo, and she has told me that she is not in a basket dancing, right?
I was going to say, you might want to clarify that.
Right, she is a waitress, and she's now leaving that job because she has a job. She has a full-time job down there, and she was doing this to make some extra money, and now her full-time job, the demands on her full-time job, she's an investigator for the state. Anyway, I know it sounds pretty impressive. She's going to, you know, she's so the cool daughter that's going to save the world. Anyway, and we need that, Lord knows. But anyway, so her boss was like, oh, we're so sorry that you're going. You know, you, out of anybody, have thanked the kitchen staff more than any other waitress. You know, because they're shorthanded and, you know, the chefs and everybody are working really hard. And, hey, I need a, you know, whatever. I need a boudin bowl for whatever, you know, whatever. And she just pauses and says to her manager, she said, I was raised right.
Oh.
So that's what I'm telling you, people. I'm happy to help you. I am. You can text me all day long. Just say hello. You know, when people call the show, you know what the first thing they say is? Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. They're nice people. And I like helping nice people. My friends, they're not nice.
Well, but you're like on a level where they can be like, I mean, I text you like that sometimes. But I've learned that you always like to say good morning first. Like, if I don't say good morning to you first,
right. I mean, come on. How about
I go back and I send a good morning.
Pleasantries.
You, it'll come after. You'll ask the question, and then you catch yourself like, oh, I hear the voice. Oh, good morning.
You have a lot of rules.
Right. Well, and then the thing is, when you think about a text line, when you send the good morning, you'll see that first. And then you have to go right, yes. Right? You uh-huh. Right.
I've also learned to always, and I do this, but you know, sometimes, but you like called me out on this before, but sometimes you miss it because I always try to do it. If you say, how was your night? Oh, my night was great, blah, 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 blah. And then typically I would always respond back with, Lou, how was your, but whatever, so a phone rings or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. And then you go, well, my night, Lindsay, was great too.
Here's the thing for all of us.
How do I feel about this big?
Be present. Be present in the conversation. Okay. No, I'm going to tell you. I'll give you an example. What we're doing is, the problem is we're texting everything, and we need to talk more, right? And I mean, that's what I like about doing a radio show is I get to talk to people, and you get to have, and you hear the inflection in their voice, and you hear the, you know, or maybe their concern. You can hear, you can't hear that in a text, right? And you just need to listen. And I tell you young broadcasters out there, remember, talking on the radio has nothing to do with talking. It has everything to do with listening.
That's profound.
Right on.
Like that little...
I'm making a t-shirt.
Thanks, Lou.
Andy's printing his t-shirts. He's got the silkscreen machine going in the sports office.
Got that right.
Everybody's got to make enough buck or we can't, Andy. 877-2134-LOU. Let's talk with someone now. This is Catherine who's calling in. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
Well, I have a marble grouted shower. I need to clean the grout. Don't know what to clean it with. And then I want to seal it.
You want to seal the grout?
And the marble tile.
All right, so let's think about this. Do you have a pen or a pencil? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There is a company that you may have heard me speak about called Granite Gold, which makes countertop cleaners, and they also make a fabulous antimicrobial called Microgold, but they make a really good grout cleaner. And it comes with a brush, all right, like a giant toothbrush when you buy it.
Okay.
So you're either going to go to the hardware store or the home center, and you're going to look for Granite Gold grout cleaner. And you're going to squirt it onto the grout, and you're going to take the toothbrush and you're going to scrub it, and you're going to be amazed at how well It cleans the grout. And honestly, I'm not a huge fan of sealing the grout because I think it traps dirt. So if it were me, I would just clean it, make sure the grout is in good repair. You know, it's not falling out or anything like that. If it is, you can buy a little pre-mix thing of grout to put it in there and put it with your finger and then let it dry. But then just keep it clean. Keep that bottle of the granite gold grout cleaner, and it's going to do a really nice job for you. And I think that you'll get really, really good results. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's try and get one more quick call in here. This is Ann calling in from New Jersey. Hi, Ann. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Ann.
Ooh. Yes, hi.
Good morning. How may I help you?
Hi, thank you for the radio show. I learned so much from it. Thank you. My question is, I have my garage floor. It was previously painted with an oil-based paint, and then I had a professional painter come and put down that new style epoxy floor.
Okay.
And he did a primer. And he put it down, and over the past 3 years, it has been just bubbling and bubbling, and it's disastrous. I actually had to put indoor-outdoor carpeting over it. How can I fix this floor? Do they have to, professional, have to strip it, be painted? Do I have to sand it? What do I do? It's terrible. It looks so pretty and was so nice, but it only lasted about 2 years, and then massive, like, tar bubbles.
Right.
Bubbled up.
Right. So the biggest problem with this, Ann, is the fact that you live in New Jersey. It's not a testament. It's not anything wrong with living in Jersey. It's a beautiful place. But the weather, right, the cold and the warm and the salt and all that kind of stuff gets underneath there. These epoxy coatings, you're going to get like a 2 to 3 year lifespan on it, and then you have to redo it. Now, if you lived in Arizona, it'd be a different story because at least it's hot all the time, or, you know, it doesn't have the moisture. The moisture is what kills you with this kind of stuff. So you can either have it redone with the mindset that it's only going to last 3 years, or they do make these garage floor mats that you can buy. That you can put, is it a single car, two car?
Two car, and I pull the cars in. I want the cars in the car.
Sure. Okay. So this is not an inexpensive proposition, but have you ever heard of a company called WeatherTech?
Yes.
They make the floor mats for your car and that kind of stuff. It's like one of the, for me personally, when I buy a new car, I buy those mats right away. I give them as gifts to all my friends who never say hello to me. Anyway.
The decorative, because my laundry room it's a garage basement, all the houses above it, so I have to have it look kind of attractive.
So it's like a mesh floor.
Okay.
And it's a tile, and so the water goes through it, and it's really easy to walk on. If you go to their website, I believe it's weathertech.com, look at that flooring. As I mentioned, it's not inexpensive, but once you install it, you're done. You won't have to put another thing on top of that. Or have the painter come back every 3 years and redo the floor, which is just how it's going to be. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back right after this.
Hey, Big Lou, what up?
I'm good. How are you?
I just called to thank you for the Penathen advice that you always talk about.
Oh, the deck stain?
No, we had bought a cedar shed out on our patio. And my wife wanted to get something else. I said, no, go get this Penathen stuff Lou talks about all the time. So she went to Ace and Villa Park or something. Nobody else sells it.
Yeah, you got to go to a dealer. It's not a big box thing. They only sell through dealers. Nope. And you're happy with the results?
Yeah, she went to Ace Hardware, and she goes, that's expensive. I go, trust me. And she loves it. She goes, call him and tell him thanks.
Well, that's very nice. I appreciate the phone call, and I hope you'll get years and years.
I actually met you a few years ago at the Ace Hardware show.
Oh, that's very nice. I thought I told you never to call here again. Was that you?
Yeah, that's when the pandemic hit. We were setting up Ace Hardware at McCormick.
Oh wow! Well, let's hope.
Check this out.
Let's hope we're getting out of here and out of this mess soon, and we can get back to our normal lives. That would be something that would be lovely for all of us. That's for sure. 877-2134-LOU. Thank you for the phone call. Let's talk to Elaine, who's in New Jersey. Hi, Elaine. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, I had a question. After I use the vacuum cleaner, I take out the plug from the socket, and the plug feels hot. What causes that?
Well, that can be a bunch of different things. And what about the cord of the vacuum cleaner?
No, it's not the cord. It's just the plug.
Okay. So that can be that circuit where let me ask you this. Do you plug the vacuum cleaner into the same plug all the time?
Yes, I do.
Okay. As a test, when are you going to vacuum next?
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid to use it. I don't want to cause a fire.
My point is I'd like you to plug into a different receptacle. It could be that receptacle is sharing a circuit with other devices in the home. So let's say, where is this device located? Is it close to the kitchen?
No, it's in the foyer.
Okay. So maybe it's sharing a circuit it could be, right, with the refrigerator. I'm just going to make that up. That's drawing a lot of electricity, you know, all the time. And when you put that vacuum cleaner in there, it too is drawing, you know, the vacuum cleaners are pretty high amp draw. And that can be heating up as it's pulling the electricity through there. As a test, I would find another outlet and do your normal vacuuming and see if that is warm. If it's not, now keep in mind, a little bit of warmth is normal. Hot is different. So, but if it's just a little warm, that's fine. But if you're super concerned, then you need an electrician to come out and make sure that the wiring is properly sized based on the draw. And, you know, for instance, your vacuum cleaner, somewhere there's a sticker on it that probably says the amps. And if it says it's a 15-amp draw, okay, typical interior receptacles in a home are on a 15-amp breaker. So you're really, when that thing cranks up the first time you hit it, is really sucking that electricity as fast as it can to run the vacuum cleaner. And you may be overloading that. And if you have another plug in there that's a 20-amp, and you would need the help of an electrician to help you determine all this, that would be a safer place to plug it in.
Okay, so I'll try a different receptacle first.
See how that goes. Warm is not uncommon. Hot is not good.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. We found a really interesting safety device when it comes to fires, in particular for those that have hearing impairment, whether you're deaf or even have a penchant to not being able to hear high frequency sounds. Myself, I am one of them. I have, invisible fences for the dog. And there's a sensor that's in the garage that if there's a problem, it beeps like there's the power's out or whatever. I cannot hear that at all. I'll get out of the car and Mary Beth goes, "What's that beep?" And I'll say,
"No way.
What beep?" And I don't hear it at all. I can put my ear right next to it.
That's interesting.
And it's a frequency that you just can't hear. That's a problem when it comes to fire safety and frequencies if you can't hear them. And we've got a really good Noodaloo 2 that I want you to listen for, which will be coming up after 7:35 this morning. But right now, it's time for WGN Radio News. Joining me on the phone line right now is the president of Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling, Michael Bodart. Michael, good morning. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Glad to be here today.
We're happy to have you. And for those that maybe are listening to you for the very first time, tell us a little bit about Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, thanks. So Lindeman Chimney and Cooling has been around for more than 50 years. Started off as a chimney company. Lindeman Chimney has been kind of a household name, and especially in Chicago's North Shore, since the late 60s. Lindeman Chimney was started by Gary Lindeman. He's our founder. He was a firefighter on the North Shore. He became a captain of that house
And like all firefighters, they have a day that they're working and 2 days that they're not working. And his off days, he learned the trade of chimney cleaning, chimney sweeping, and started a chimney service company on his off days. And over the years, grew that company over time and focused more of his time on that chimney business when he retired from the fire department after putting in his tenure. And that's how it started. It starts usually that way for chimney service companies. It's a guy who puts his name on a truck and off they go. And I got here about 15 years ago and helped Gary's son, Rob, grow the business after Gary stepped back and retired. And Rob has been running it since Gary retired in 2007. And we have grown the business quite a bit in the last decade or so. We're now the largest chimney service cleaning and maintenance company in the world.
Wow.
So it's been a fun trip and really great opportunity for everybody.
Well, and I know that in the chimney world, you guys have really sort of pioneered some of the technology and really trying to diagnose and offer people high quality service at a fair price. And then is it a year now or 2 years that you launched the heating and cooling division?
We have started, and this is something we probably in hindsight should have started probably earlier, where so many homes we're looking at everything that is venting in a chimney, and it's not just fireplaces, as you know, that get vented in a chimney, but it's the heating systems, whether it be a furnace or a boiler or hot water tanks that typically vent in a chimney. So a year and a half ago, we decided to add a full-service heating and cooling division. We got some top guys in the business that were from the area to spearhead that for us. We have unbelievable technicians with lots of experience. We're in the same homes we were doing chimney and fireplace work in over all of these years, and now offering heating and cooling. It's been something that has worked out really great. It gives us an opportunity to really just make it one-stop shopping for a lot of homes that really would require a couple of vendors servicing their needs, but now they just they find all of that with us.
Here we have, we're talking about fire safety and October being Fire Safety Month, and when you talk about the heating and cooling system, you've got a story about a recent visit you folks made to a customer's house. Can you share that story?
So, like I said earlier, we're really a venting, chimney and venting specialist safety company, right? So everybody thinks in terms of fireplaces, first and foremost, when they think about the chimney in their house, right? And Santa Claus comes down the chimney, right? And everybody equates chimneys and fireplaces. As you know, virtually every chimney that a home has serves multiple purposes. They all vent things that are dangerous to the home, which is combustion products, whether you're burning wood in a fireplace or whether you're burning gas in a boiler, a furnace, or a hot water tank. Most houses have traditionally vented boilers, furnaces, or hot water tanks. Those appliances vent into the chimney that's in the basement and then vent through a separate flue up and out the chimney safely. So that whole system should be defect-free, should have no problem venting those dangerous gases up and out of the house, just like a fireplace. When we're at houses, whether we're there looking at their fireplace, whether we're there looking at chimney issues, whether it's masonry or water leaks, we're always trying to look at the entire system. So our inspections go from the basement up through the roof. We were at a house recently when we discovered some telltale signs that the venting system for their boiler and their two hot water tanks in the basement were not venting right. We had talked to the homeowner. He had said that his current company that was servicing his heating and air conditioning had installed that equipment a decade earlier and had nothing but headaches, problems, and reoccurring visits trying to figure out why these appliances were not running properly and why they were not venting properly.
Mm-hmm.
The company that had been out there put a powered fan on the boiler and opened up an access hole to allow fresh air into the basement by cutting a hole in the wall above the ground level to let fresh air in, and tried to help bring in outside air to get these appliances to properly vent.
Right.
What our technician discovered was that we finally just said, let's get to the bottom of this, because we were going to reline all of the chimneys with stainless steel. We opened up the connections in the basement. We took apart some of the cinder block footing in the basement to let our technician get access all the way into that cavity. And what we discovered horrified us. The appliances were literally venting into a floor void in the ceiling of the basement. They were not communicating to the chimney at all.
Wow.
It had looked like the house had undergone a major structural renovation remodel some point in the last 25 years. And they moved the fireplace orientation from what it looks like on the first floor, and in doing so, cut off the entire furnace flue and the appliance flue. So these appliances were literally venting in a void into the floor, right above the cavity between the basement and the first floor.
Wow.
So there was no venting whatsoever. The horrifying thing about that, Lou, is that their carbon monoxide detectors were going off constantly, and we know why.
Right.
Because the house had a level of carbon monoxide, you know, and the previous company had been out there adding fresh air to the basement through these other means, but never really found out that they had an enormous problem, a potentially catastrophic problem.
Right.
You know, and we're at houses all the time where heating and air conditioning companies will call us and they'll say, we've got an obstruction. We can't get proper venting. And normally it's because it's an old chimney that's crumbling on the inside.
Sure.
Flue tiles are breaking and the bricks are crumbling because it might be a 100-year-old house. And the interior of that chimney is just raining debris on the inside and it clogs up that flue, right? And if it's not venting, the appliances act funny. So the first thing we would always do is make sure that there's no obstructions and then clear that out. It might be a dead animal, it might be bricks, it might be flue tiles. In this case, it was actually the house. It was actually the first floor, which was the obstruction, and there was no connection from the basement on up. So we didn't have a way to create another flue in that chimney. So what we did is we took two hot water tanks and that boiler, turned it into one boiler appliance, direct vented it, and then got a holding tank for the hot water needs. So we have one boiler in there now, one holding tank, and that boiler does the boiling part for the radiant heat in the floor, and then also heats the same water for the hot water use in the home. So we took three appliances that were naturally venting, turned it into one appliance that is now direct vent, and, you know, have a single point of failure.
And one really happy customer.
One super happy customer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a new customer for us for our heating and air conditioning division, right? Because previous company is, you know, no longer on the scene.
Michael, before I let you go, we're just running out of time. Let's talk real quick about chimney cleaning. I mean, this fall is certainly a time where people should be thinking about that, in particular when it comes to a wood-burning fireplace. And if you're, I mean, you and I have spoken about this in the past, but if you're doing a half a dozen or so fires annually, then it's a good idea to have this done at least once a year to make sure that you're keeping you and your family safe.
Yeah, so the industry recommends an annual checkup, particularly if you're burning wood. And what we say is that regular interval is about a face coat of wood, which might be a couple of dozen fires over the course of a year. Some people in Chicago, as you know, might burn wood literally Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and one other time. So the big fear that we need to address potentially is that there's not a buildup of creosote in that flue system that itself can become a source of ignition, right? So a chimney fire is a dangerous event. We want to mitigate that risk by making sure that any buildup is taken care of. The best way to do that is an annual cleaning. Those appointments for us include a thorough video scan of that entire flue system from top to bottom. We're up on the roof looking at the cap. We're looking at the masonry structure of the chimney. We're looking at the roof penetration, making sure that there's not water intrusion into the attic. We're in the basement looking at the other connections that are also using that chimney to vent their exhaust gases as well. We perform all of that. We clean the chimney
identify, you know, the pictures and any recommended steps to bring that system up to safe operation. WGN listeners can get that service for $100 off. If they mention WGN, it's normally a $299 service. We're offered WGN listeners that for $199. We typically leave about a 3-hour window for that appointment.
Right.
That's in case we need to address anything at the time we're there. But generally, those appointments take less than that. But they're thorough. It's really a safety inspection,
sure,
as much as it is a cleaning.
And how do they get a hold of you folks if they want to have the chimney inspected and cleaned and or want some heating and cooling work done by you folks?
Best way to get us is lindeman.com, and that's Lindeman with two N's. You can book an appointment instantly online. You can go right to the website, say schedule online, pick a time and a day that works out for your family. Book right there. You'll get a confirmation email in a couple of seconds. And then if you want to call us and book it over the phone, you can call 847-918-7994. Like I said, our website is lindeman.com. You can book that way or give us a call at 847-918-7994.
Michael Bodart is the president of Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. Michael, I really appreciate you taking the time this morning. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again, Lou. Have a great day.
October is Fire Prevention Month. One of the best things you can do for you, your family, and your home is to install or make sure your smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors are working properly. Smoke alarms save lives by using high-frequency, high-decibel sound notifications to warn people of fire emergencies. But as we get older, we lose our high-frequency hearing. 1 in 3 people over the age of 65 and 1 in 2 people over the age of 75 have difficulty hearing or cannot hear this high-frequency alarm at all. And of course, these same challenges are faced every day by deaf and hearing-impaired individuals. This week's new Tulu 2 might allow all of those individuals to sleep a little more peacefully with a little more confidence. Safe Awake is a fire safety device that awakens deaf, hard of hearing, and any other individuals to fire emergencies. It instantly wakes you from even a deep sleep to alert you to smoke and fire, working as a partnership when paired with your existing smoke alarm system. The alarm triggers all senses with a motorized bed shaker, a flashing light, and a low-frequency, high-decibel, square-wave sound you can actually hear. As high-tech as Safe Awake is, it's actually very simple to use. It also features a test button, an automatic shut-off and restart, a turn-on indicator light, a battery backup in the event of electrical failure, and even a system to tell you if the batteries are low. Safe Awake can be set up just about anywhere you might sleep. Homes, nursing homes, hotels, hospitals, independent living. It's lightweight, compact, portable, and made right here in the USA. One unit goes for just under $300. For more information on Safe Awake, visit HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's
So it's a listening device. Basically, it kind of looks like the base unit itself is the shape of a metrodome.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A triangle. Yeah.
Triangle. Don't you know the thing that when you're playing piano, click, click? Isn't that what it's called?
Oh,
a metrodome?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, very good. I didn't know. Yes.
Isn't that what it's called?
You are throwing things out of left field.
Well, you know, it's radio. I'm trying to paint the picture.
Yes,
so it's it looks like a little metrodome.
Right.
And then there's a cord that has this vibrating device that you slide, as Lindsay mentioned, between the mattresses. And that would kind of remind me of being 8 years old going to the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, where you used to put a quarter in the bed and it used to vibrate. I'm like, Dad, do you have another quarter?
Yeah. This
right?
Is so
the,
fun.
Right. Like, who thought of that? Like, and you know what is really going to make the resort sing? Vibrating beds. Like,
mm-hmm.
Who came up with that? And, of course, even at 8 years
one.
Old, what did I do? Crawled under the bed because I wanted to see what it was.
Oh.
Before I was
That's
Mr. Fix-It. Right?
That's
I'm like,
so funny.
Hey, there's this thing and it's a cord and it's plugged in and it's hanging on the springs. Anyway, we're talking about this device. So the idea is that you program it, or you don't remember, you set off your detector, and then it listens for your existing smoke detectors, which is really cool. And it's expensive, but boy, if you're hard of hearing or deaf, this is the money well spent.
And it's not only does the device make a a sound that right. is lower, right, in decibels. So you're, it's easier to hear, but it flashes
right.
and it
right.
is. I just tested it. Well, we were in news here, and right. I just woke the whole house up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely worth an investment if you have someone in your life that could use something like that. Go to housemartsradio.com. More information is there. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. This is Julie in Des Plaines. Hi, Julie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, good morning, Lou. I need your help fixing something.
All right.
Or Mr. Fix-It.
You called the right place.
That's the plan. I'm going to hold you to that. We have a Larson storm door, and it has the hidden screen, you know, so, like, the screen is always in there. Then you can move it up or down, and there's glass. It's probably not actually glass, but, you know, glass on the opposite side.
Yep.
And it has, like, balancers to help with the pulley kind of
mm-hmm.
system.
Mm-hmm.
And the balancers broke. So we bought new balancers online, and we tried to fix it ourselves, we being my husband, and it did not go well. So we have called around in many different places, and no one wants to fix it. Everyone just wants to replace it. I've even called the place where we purchased it that manufactures the Larson doors, or sells them off to manufacture them. But everyone just wants, but it's like an $1,800 door.
Wow.
I really, really don't want to spend that kind of money.
So you have, so you have the balancers. You didn't break them.
Yeah.
You just were unsuccessful in installing them?
Well, they may have been broken in the process of trying to install them, so we've purchased them again.
Okay, so you have the new balancers.
Yes.
You live in Des Plaines.
Correct.
There's a brand new handyman service that Ace Hardware is now owner of called Ace Handyman
okay.
Services. And while they have a slow rollout of area that they work in, I believe, and you just don't hold me to this, but they...
I said I would.
I know, but I think they do work in Des Plaines.
Okay.
Because I know they worked in Roselle. They did a couple jobs, and so that's kind of in that area. And so I think if you go to Ace's main site, you know, acehardware.com, you'll find the handyman okay. service, and then see if they'll come out and do this. And they've got some really good techs. Who I've worked with, and I'm sure if you've got the part, and they say, hey, look, I got this part, I got this door, you may have to send them a couple pictures, but they definitely can do this for you.
Okay.
Okay?
We will give it a shot.
And then,
you know, called, like, Mega, and it's too much. We'll just repair it.
Right. Right. We need a handyman service, and I bet they'll be able to help you with this.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You have a great day. Appreciate you calling. By the way, October is Fire Prevention Month. So today's show is being sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. Book your chimney cleaning and inspection at cleanfireplace.com. 877-213-4LOU. Oh, by the way, Julie, we're going to give a hat to. I misunderstood the way you sent that. My apologies. We're going to send her out a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating a kitchen or bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. This is Kathy, who's calling in from Hoffman Estates. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
So I have been waiting all week to call you, so I know what to do. I have a townhouse where the garage fits only one car, and the outside wall, I'm at the end unit, so the outside wall is like, I guess you call it concrete. It doesn't look like those bricks. Is it worth it for me? Now, the right above the garage is my living room floor. In the winter, it gets very cold.
Okay.
Is it worth it for me? I'm a limited DIY person. Is it worth it for me to put that foam board up like 2 inches thick along that wall?
So when I'm in the garage and I'm looking at that outside wall, it appears that that's a concrete wall.
Correct.
And then when I look up inside the garage, am I seeing drywall?
Yes.
Okay. So that floor, I'm going to bet you dimes to dollars, is insulated. because that's a cool space. So adding insulation to the wall would have a limited, if any, effect at all up there. Is the issue with that room that it's cold in the winter and hot in the summer?
Well, it's very cold in the winter, not necessarily too hot because my air conditioning unit is on that floor because when you go from the garage, you come into a small family room, and there's a storage unit where my furnace is. So it's always very cold in that level.
And that whole,
so I don't find
no, okay, so that whole level or just the room directly above the garage?
Well, the room above the garage, it's a three-level townhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That stays pretty cool because I recently got a variable furnace. And everything's fine. But on the same level, I guess I thought the question was on the same level of the garage, when you open the door, you come into a small family room. It's cool in there.
In that lower level when you come off the garage.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
But
so
in the winter it's cold.
Yeah. Okay. So here's where I would rather you spend your money.
Okay.
I would rather you if it's a heating issue, I would hire an electrician to come and install a 240 electric baseboard heater with a thermostat that you're going to place in that lower level.
Okay.
And so that supplemental heat source, you will set it and forget it. And it's just going to be like they sell these oil-filled electric baseboards, and they will come in and run the proper power. It has to be 240. That's the most efficient. And you'll set it to 70 degrees or whatever you want it at. It will heat that lower space, but that it'll also, the other benefit is, some of that heat will come up the staircase and help heat that as well, because that staircase is a giant piece of ductwork.
Okay.
And so the heat, heat rises and cold air drops. And so that's why when you walk in the wintertime, it's like an icebox. You could hang meat down there.
Yeah.
You could open up a deli, right? Who needs a pastrami? Yes. Pastrami, right? You could have a deli down there. But if you did that, so here's the thing. You go do this foam board thing, right? It's going to cost you thousands of dollars.
And Menards sells those sheets for like $22.
Who's going to do this? Who's going to do this?
Well, so here's my next, I'm limited. Would I use liquid nails? That's what they tell you to do.
Okay, so we're going to go to Menards, we're going to buy these things. So let's say we're going to spend $100 just for the sake of the argument.
Yes.
And then you're going to do all this and you're going to glue it. And you're going to say, look at this Bernice. Look at how nice this is. Look at how it works. It's not going to help you one bit.
Okay.
You spend $500. You spend $500. I'm making that number up. It could be a little more. Let's say it's $1,000. Okay, just to buy us some time to put the radiator in and the electrician and this and that. You know, we have an electrician that's up sponsoring our show today, Arnold Electric. Write this down, arnoldelectricchicago.com.
Okay.
arnoldelectricchicago.com. Contact them. Tell them Lou said, I need an oil-filled electric baseboard heater that's 240 volt. Can you help me?
Okay, and Lou, one more question. I'm painting the floor with one of those kits.
The garage floor?
Yes.
If it's going to last you 3 years before you start to see lift, make sure it's as clean as possible. It'll look great, but where we live with the salt and the cold and everything like that, it's not going to last forever.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lou.
Have a great day. 877-213-4-LOU is the phone number. Let's take a quick call. Who would you like me to know? Yes? What? Yeah? Line three? I'll talk to Bill. Bill is in Palos Heights. Hey, Bill, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
I have a question. I have to re-roof my home next year. I was planning on doing it next spring. And I have a quad home, so it's got like three different parts to the roof, over the bedrooms, over the living room, dining room, and then the garage.
Okay.
And I need to do a complete tear off, and I wanted to know, because there's so many contractors out there, how do you pick a roofing contractor? I wanted to pick three of them and then get bids.
Okay, and say one more time, where's the home located?
Palos Heights, Illinois.
Okay. I have two that I can give you, and then I'll send you a place for the third. So on the south, okay. This company's based out of the south side. They've been around for 50 years, Rogers Roofing. Family-owned, family-run, awesome reputation. You will not go wrong getting a bid from them. And, you know, ultimately, if you decide to work with them, that's great. The other one is Lindholm Roofing, another family-owned company, been around, I think, over 50 years. And they are terrific technicians, and they've got great roofers. They know what they're doing, and they'll do a really nice job for you. The third place to go is NRCA.net. NRCA.net. That is the National Roofing Contractors Association. You will find both those roofers that I just gave you, but you'll also find others that are highly rated in your area that will do a really nice job. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. Quick break, and we'll get to news. My wife and I got on an airplane, and a big old jet airplane, and we went off to New Orleans to see our daughter for a couple days, Mallory, who's living down there. Don, Andy, been to New Orleans?
I have, yes.
Have not as of yet, but it's on my bucket list.
It's on your bucket list. Couple of observations. I've been there many times. First of all, you know, the Ida just came through there, and so there's still a lot of debris everywhere. It is an old city.
Yes, it is.
I mean, old, right? Like, it's one of the first cities in the United States. And the roads in the residential areas is like a war zone. And I'm thinking to myself, they have no snow. They have no ice. And to the point where you're driving, I was driving Mallory's car, and you, like, go down in a hole, and you wonder if you're going to come back out.
Gosh.
It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I'm thinking, when we complain about potholes in Chicago, now, when you get to the main streets, it's not like that. But in the old areas, she lives in an older garden, the Garden District, where the homes are fabulous. And, you know, Andy, you've been there. The food is great. The music is great. My wife had never been to the French Quarter, which, you know, that Bourbon Street area, they close at night. On a Sunday, we walked through there. They hose the street down every day.
They have to.
Nice.
Right?
Many reasons.
So I hadn't been there in a while, and there is one particular bar on Bourbon Street that I said, oh, we got to go by the bar and take a picture, because they have a huge sign, and I can't say this on the radio, but it says, Big Butt Beers, and there's another word besides butt that I won't say on the radio, right? And so we're walking along, and we find it, right? And so I go, there it is. And so, you know, this typical old man dad, we got to take a picture. And Mary Beth goes, well, why don't you get a beer? Because it's New Orleans, you know, and it's 1 o'clock, right? The Bears at this point are down. How many yards have they gained already, Andy?
That would be negative two.
So it's 1 o'clock.
They had a rally.
Negative two. Yeah. And every place down there, I mean, you're walking down Bourbon Street, there's live music happening, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a beautiful sunny day. And so I say to the lady, I go, I don't want a big butt beer. I go, what's the smallest big butt beer you have? And she goes, 16 ounces. That's the smallest.
Yeah.
Which would be, if you went to a bar, they'd say, you want 12 or 16?
Right, right.
It's like a quart. The thing that they would hand, and it literally is like things that you would, when you would make soup and you'd give it to friends, that's what you would put it in. And so she hands me the cup, and it's the little beer, 16 ounces, and it says half-ass beer. Just said it fast.
Yeah,
because like it's not a big beer. Right, tiny. Right,
so a tiny hiney.
Tiny, like it's a tiny hiney. That would be a good one too. Yeah.
Did they ask you if you wanted a bib along with that?
Yeah, yep. It was really it's fun. It's fun town. But man, you look at those. I could look at the structures and the buildings and just the age of it and the ornation of everything being built on there is just something else.
So is it still like you? I mean, are people like flashing everybody?
Well, like, not on a Sunday afternoon. I think that still happens on Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Well, that's more of a Mardi. That happens all the. I mean, I definitely is more Mardi Gras style, but like I've been there when it was a Mardi Gras, and they still try and give that
vibe.
Very
interesting. You know, I don't know that, but in the whole Me Too movement, I wonder if we've stopped doing that. I hope so. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean,
I wonder that too.
We'll see.
Yeah.
The first Mardi Gras after this COVID thing, I think there's going to be some flashing happening. It just feels like it.
You know, you might be right. You may be right. Anyway, it's a lovely city. The people are great. They're just so kind. And obviously still digging out from Ida, but it was cool to be down there. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Let's get back to your phone calls here. This is Bev, who's calling in from Lake Zurich. Hi, Bev.
Hi. How are you, Lou?
I'm well. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about my roof. I have a low-pitched roof. I was told it's about a 212 pitch roof. I'm in a ranch, and I have a torched bitumen roof on there right now.
Okay.
And I noticed when I stand back, there's a 3-foot eave, you know. When I stand back, I notice that it looks like the roofing is lifting up away from the edge.
Okay.
Now, is that normal, or
well, how,
should I be
how,
worried about
how,
it?
How old is this roof, Bev?
About 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, if you see that it's lifting up, meaning that you're starting to see a little bit of a curl, there could be some separation that's occurring that probably needs to be addressed. Now, a 212 is a pretty shallow pitch, as you mentioned. Conventional shingles, kind of the lowest pitch that you can go with is a 412, so you're half that. You would probably be wise to have a roofer come and inspect it. They may say, hey, lady, we could just cut out the bottom, you know, 3 feet of this and redo it. The rest of the roof looks sound, and we can torch down a new layer. That is certainly acceptable if it's inspected and the rest of the roof looks good. You should be getting more than 12 years out of a rubber roof like that. So that would my guess is that's probably what will happen.
Is there a way they could fix it without tearing off the three-foot section?
I mean, maybe. My guess is if you're getting separation, though, you're getting water underneath it. That's my guess. So, I mean, without seeing it, I mean, is it possible? Yes. But do you have a roofing contractor that you work with?
Oh, yeah, the ones that put the roof on.
Okay. All right. Well, then if you trust them and you... have them come and take a look at it. They may be able to repair what you have there without taking it up, but my guess is that's going to have to happen.
Okay. I just wondered if that was something that was normal or if it was something faulty in the installation. You know what I mean?
12 years, no. I mean, that's, you know, the average life of a roof in the U.S. is 13.
All right. I have another question, a quick question. What is your thought about gutter screens?
It keeps you from climbing up on the gutter and having to clean them off if they're done right and you get the right ones. Now, there's several different makers. I prefer the ones that are more like an aluminum sieve that go over the top. It's more solid. And I have had the product called Leaf Relief on our home for over 20 years. And I haven't cleaned the gutters in 20 years.
Leaf Relief. Okay. All right. Even with a low pitch roof like mine,
sure,
wouldn't be a problem.
No,
and I have oversized gutters.
Even better.
They address that?
They do.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much, Lou. I appreciate your help. Would you happen to have the number of the Leaf Relief?
I think if you talk to your roofing contractor, that's a maker's, and they don't, you know, they don't install them, but they could probably supply it for you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning.
Morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
Lou, it's getting to be. I'm starting to think about a new furnace for my the house here.
Okay.
And you had mentioned in a couple of your shows that it's important. Well, it's a good idea to match your air conditioner, which our air conditioner is 4 years old, with your furnace. It's an American standard. And I'm just calling to see, is it that important that you match them?
I mean, it is from a, here's the challenge is when you have to have service, okay? So American Standard is a fine brand. It's owned by Trane, And, you know, there are American Standard dealers out there. I would have no qualms with you installing that piece of equipment. The person that did the air conditioner 4 years ago, were you happy with the work that they did?
Yeah, okay. I'm very happy. In fact, I'm going to give them a call. I had somebody out already to inspect it, and there's some issues, flame sensor that I cleaned off myself, but it's 16 years old.
Right.
And it's one of those things you don't want to have to go on in the middle of February, you know.
100%. And so here's the thing is that, you know, if you call a dealer, you know, the reality of the furnace industry is they all share a lot of parts, right? But if you got a guy that, you know, if you put in a Carrier or you put in a Goodman and you've got a American Standard air conditioner, you know, they all have to communicate with each other. And if there's I don't have that part on my truck and we'll have to come back. And it's always better from a service perspective to have like equipment. And so, you know,
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Well, the only question now, I did learn about Trane and American Standard and how they, you know, went together as a company. Is it okay to go with a Trane furnace and a American Standard air conditioner?
I can't remember if there's a huge difference in the product. You know, for instance, Bryant and Carrier are the same company. And years and years ago, I don't know that this has changed, but years and years ago, I went out to the Carrier factory. And like today, we're building Bryant. And literally, as it comes down the line, they're putting the Bryant sticker on. And tomorrow, they're going to build Carrier. And it comes down, you know, in certain lines of the equipment, it's exactly the same. It's just a different sticker on the box. But then, you know, a Cadillac is not a Chevy, right? There's some shared parts in there. So if you were going to mix and match, then I would say that Trane and American Standard would be the only way in that scenario that I think would make sense.
Understand. Well, thank you for your answer, Lou. And, you know, like anything, it's getting to be heating season and they're getting busy. And
right.
I also did read that with COVID and everything else and shortage of things, if you want to do a furnace, do it now. Because if you have to do it 2 months from now, what might be available is something you don't want to put in. So
it's 100%. And, you know, even, you know, we've got a lot of fine HVAC companies that are part of the GN family here. Dykstra Home Services, American Weathermakers, Perfect Home Services, all of those folks. And while they're associated with specific dealers of brands, rather, they also service and install all equipment. All HVAC right. companies do.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, thanks for the information, Lou. Have a good day.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning as well. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. In awareness of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by Arnold Electric Services, your friendly neighborhood pros, keeping clients safe since 2008 at arnoldelectric.com. One of the areas, though, of our homes that has a real potential for fire or just in general a safety concern is the electrical system of your home. I wanted to speak with an expert on this. So joining me on the phone line this morning is Jack Arnold, who is the owner of Arnold Electric. Jack, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Glad to be here and glad to be talking about this stuff.
Tell me a little bit about your company and who you folks are.
We started back in 2008. We're on the northwest side of Chicago here, and we specialize in residential home services, specifically and only electrical. And we'll do anything. I tell people we repair, replace, and maintain existing electrical systems in a home.
Right.
That's a little bit about us.
And there's a lot of, in particular where you are, but throughout the Chicagoland area, there are a lot of older homes with a lot of older electrical systems.
Yes, pretty sure that most homes in Chicago were, you know, built before 1950. So we come across a ton of, I mean, that's all we do. I mean, is old electrical systems. We got a sign on our front window that says Chicago's Old Home Electrical Experts. We see a ton of different stuff.
Right. Well, Jack, you know, one of the things I think that a lot of people maybe do is that they kind of live with stuff that maybe isn't working right, right? Like, oh, I just got to jiggle the switch and then the light goes on, you know, or sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, those are those little bitty, you know, nuisances that could lead to a major problem or, God forbid, even a fire in a home.
You're exactly right there. And if you look at your house, there's, you know, an outlet or a switch on pretty much every wall. So I think oftentimes homeowners may take it for granted that if one outlet doesn't work on one part of the wall, they'll switch the cords and plug it in the other part of the wall. But what's actually happening there, like you said, they're nuisances and they're pretty obvious, but those are really strong indicators that there's something going on behind that outlet that needs to be addressed. And if you don't address it right away, like you said, it could become, instead of a swapping an outlet, let's say, that's not working, you could end up, you know, replacing the wire because the wire is going to burn up if you're plugging stuff into it, or it just becomes a much more involved repair if you ignore those things and don't get them addressed immediately.
Well, and, you know, one other thing that I think is of a concern, you talk about older homes, and, you know, certainly the electrical code has changed dramatically over the last, I don't know what, probably 25, 30 years. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, I've got the microwaves plugged into the same circuit that runs the dishwasher. And, you know, when you've got an older home with older wiring that maybe isn't sized correctly, I mean, it could be working, but it's not that it's working at its, you know, peak efficiency or peak safety, really, right? We're talking a lot about safety. I imagine that you folks at Arnold Electric, you know, if somebody had some concern, you could come out and sort of, in pretty short order, figure out, you know, what's going wrong or how things should be updated so that the home is up to code and safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would recommend that to anybody. We do like a 32-point whole home safety inspection before, maintenance and safety inspection before we do any work on any for any client. Mm-hmm. And it's like the equivalent of going to a doctor and getting your vitals checked, you know, getting blood work done. You get a finger on the pulse and of what's going on in the electrical system. And kind of, as you mentioned, codes have updated, you know, year after year, they update every 3 years, and, you know, code updates, like you said, everything's been working, but do we really need to update it to code? Well, my answer to that would be it's the equivalent of, let's say, like a recall on an automobile.
Right.
You know, you want to keep up to date with the latest safety, you know, specifications of how to install and maintain your electrical system. Well, that's what the code does.
Right. And I would think, too, you know, just thinking through, like, people that are selling their homes or people that are buying homes, you know, while, you know, most home inspectors are not electricians or licensed electricians, they do know enough to be able to call out things like, hey, this panel is, you know, they've got cheater breakers on here. They've got things like that where it's not safe, but then it also can be a costly repair as you're trying to sell. Why not get it fixed while you're living in the home to make sure that it's operating safely?
Yeah, exactly. Always a very stressful situation when you're buying or selling a house and it's not brought up to code. And I would tend to think that you'd be able to command, you know, the price that you're asking for the house, provided, you know, if you get the electrical work done, you know, it's all updated and
right,
everybody feels better about it.
Now your service, you mentioned that you're Chicagoland's, you know, Old Home Electrical Experts. You're really soup to nuts though, right? It isn't just, I mean, certainly if somebody wanted a dimmer switch installed or they wanted to swap out some devices, but you could rewire a home or put in a new electrical service, but really soup to nuts when it comes to the work that a licensed electrician would do, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So I tell people we do anything from change light bulbs to
replacing services and meters and panels to rewiring homes, and we come across a ton of cloth-covered wire.
Yeah.
We have a whole process of how we go through and evaluate each outlet and switch and light opening to determine where the cloth-covered wire is and how extensive the rewire is going to be. But, yeah, we do – we'll replace light bulbs for people, too. Soup to Nuts is a great great analogy.
Jack, is there a life expectancy when it comes to an electrical system in a home? I mean, how would you answer something like that?
Yeah, there is a life expectancy. The whole system is consumable over time. I would start out by saying that your meter and your panel and your breakers, that has a safe operating lifespan of 25 years, and that is like the spinal cord or backbone of your entire electrical system.
Right.
The actual wire used to wire your house will last anywhere from 50 to potentially 75 years, but that will wear out over time too. Obviously, like I mentioned before, the cloth-covered wire, that stuff started going bad way before 50 or 75 years. And,
right.
Outlets that you use every day, those are going to wear out anywhere from 2 to 5 years. The outlets that are behind your buffet counter that's not really used too often, that'll last 10 or 15 years. That's kind of what I would say would be the life expectancy of the different components of your electrical system.
I think that's really good, and I think it's something for people to consider, especially if they're concerned at all with the overall safety of their electrical system. Jack Arnold is the owner of Arnold Electric. Jack, if people want to learn more about your services and get a hold of you to possibly come out and take a look, and I really like that whole 32-point inspection that you give. I think that's such peace of mind for people. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can find us online at arnoldelectricchicago.com. You can fill out an online submission form there if that's easiest for you, and take advantage of some coupons and a bunch of other information on the website. Or go just give us a buzz at 773-647-1120.
Jack Arnold from Arnold Electric, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning and covering this very important topic. Continued success to you and everybody at your place.
Thanks a lot, Lou. I appreciate it. You know, my dad was a volunteer firefighter for like 15 years up in Johnsburg, Illinois, so it's pretty cool to be here talking about this and, talking about fire safety and home safety and people aware. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. This is Buddy in Homer Glen. Hey, Buddy.
Yes, Lou.
Yes, sir.
It's a privilege to talk to you, Lou. I have very much so. I have two brief but big questions to ask you. I'm not the handiest guy, and I live in a townhouse, a ranch-style townhome.
Okay.
I have two vents out on the wall outside, one above the other, I guess for the dryer and the stove. And I want to keep any kind of birds or anything out of there. And I was told to use chicken wire. What do you think of that idea?
I mean, the chicken wire, yeah. I mean, typically chicken wire has, you know, these little circles, and then there's another wire that goes down the center. No bird really is going to get inside of there. And, I mean, are you having an issue with it now, buddy?
I did several years back, and I just want to be sure it doesn't repeat itself. But I have three or four flaps, and if I put the flaps between that vent, it seems the flaps are affected on flapping. So I was thinking of putting it behind there,
well,
the concave.
Let me ask you this: Is this the side of the house? Where are these physically?
Yes, it's on the roof on the side of the house. Yes,
well, on the roof.
Well, I have to get on the roof. It's on the side of the house.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, what if you just made a little bit of if you took the chicken wire, which is very pliable, what if you, I mean, there's a couple ways you could do this. You could either make a picture frame out of like cedar or something like that, and then put the chicken wire over the top of that and bend it so it's like a cap. and then that would go over your entire vent.
How do I secure that out there?
Then you screw it to the side of the house through the little picture frame. So imagine you've got your vent cover, okay, however that is, 4x4 or 6x6, whatever it is, okay?
I think it's 4x4, yes.
Okay, so now you take a piece of 1x3, I'm going to make that up, a piece of cedar, something that can be outside, and you make a 6x6 square, okay? So it's like a picture frame. Now you take the chicken wire, and on one side you screw, you know, use some stainless screws or whatever, or actually you could use a staple gun with galvanized staples, staple the chicken wire to it, then kind of fold it out so it, you know, it creates like a, you know, it's not flat, it's more of it sticks out and then comes back so that those flaps can open and close at will. And then you bend the chicken wire back with some snips, and you staple it to the picture frame. You go up there with a couple of screws. You put it over the top of the vent. Zip, zip, you're done.
How big screws do I use? I don't want to put holes in the side of the house, though, or anything.
Well, sure you do, because that's how it's going to be held there. What is the house? What's the siding on the house now?
It's like aluminum or something.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you go right over the top of that.
Vinyl.
Yeah. I mean, if you go right over the top of that, you could, in essence, you could do the same thing with the chicken wire and screw it to the vent cover that's on there and not screw into the house at all. You just
screw it into the vent cover. I see what
correct.
You mean.
And you just yeah. and you just want to keep the birds out, right? That's it.
Yes. Correct.
So, I mean, if you did that and you folded it and then you put a couple of screws to hold it in place, the biggest issue is you want to do a nice job so it doesn't look like, you know, look at that guy with the crazy chicken wire up there. If you take your time with some some tin snips or some wire cutters and shape it perfectly, you could even tuck it behind the cover. Depending on how that cover is, if it's got screws that are on the face of it, you could loosen the screws, gently pull it out a little bit, tuck the chicken wire behind it, screw the thing back in place, and you're done.
I think it has caulk, though.
Then take the caulk out and then re-caulk it.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Lou. All right. And my last question was, since I have a ranch-style home, like I said, a crawl space,
yep.
What's the fair price for a sump pump with installation? And is there anybody you could refer me to?
Oh, do you have a current pit? Like, is there a sump pump pit there now?
I haven't been in the crawl space for quite a while.
So you don't know. You don't know. I mean, so the price can be all over the board. If you do not have a sump pump pit and you need drain tile, that's a far cry more expensive than just somebody coming to replace the pump. What I would do, contact PermaSeal. The estimate is free. They can come out and take a look at it and see what you have and then propose the right fix for you and then give you a price.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you very much for help. Your help. I really, really appreciate
You're
it.
You're very kind, and it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for calling. We'll take a quick break and be right back. So, Mrs. Offerman, if you're speaking to your son, you're handsome. He's a handsome young man, and we would love to have him come back on the show again. And I did tweet at him. What'd he say? Tweet at him? What'd he say? I sent him a tweet.
I tweeted at him.
And I've heard nothing. So.
Well, he's very busy.
He's very busy.
We haven't given up.
You know what, though?
He's got
a new
book
coming say
out.
They're really busy. Are they really busy? I bet that he's sitting on the couch watching football on Sundays just like everybody else. Right?
How fun would it be to watch a game with Nick Offerman?
Well, I don't know. Just to
fun.
Watch a game.
Just
yeah.
You know how you like to, there's some people that you want to have beers with? I'd love to have a beer with Nick Offerman.
Yeah, me, it would be Sandra Bullock. Sandra.
Well,
Sandy.
Lena.
That's who I want to go have a beer with. And, yeah, I guess I would have a beer with Nick. Yeah, sure.
What?
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to have beers with Mike Jakubowski, who's like Nick Offerman.
True story
right.
there.
You're right, right. Right. And I would arguably probably a better woodworker. But I'm just going out there, you know, just older, more experienced. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal repair studio, foundation repair studio. In awareness of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by Arnold Electric Services, your friendly neighborhood pros, keeping clients safe since 2008 at arnoldelectric.com. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Our friend Lee here has been hanging on for quite a while. Lee, thank you so much for joining us here on House Smarts Radio. How may I help you?
Hi, Lou. I have a couple questions about caulk and paint.
Okay.
I have a sloped concrete driveway with gaps up to about an inch between the poured pads, and they total about 150 feet to cover. And I have also some minor cracks in the driveway itself. What products do you recommend?
How wide are those cracks? You said they're half inch wide?
Up to an inch. Some are minor, some are less than an inch, and, you know, probably half and up to an inch.
And are these,
and they're deep too.
Yeah, right. And are these cracks where you said actually where the pads are? It's not like a crack in the field of the middle of the concrete.
So, yeah, I've got some that are between the pads and then one major crack, you know, that runs in the middle of the pad itself, but it's less than a quarter inch.
Mm-hmm. An inch is a lot to fill with caulking, so you need something that is super stretchy, and the depth of it you need to eliminate by either putting in some crushed stone that you can pack in. In other words, if you've got an inch wide, I can't have more than a half of an inch of depth because it's just too much material, and it won't perform right. So if you got some crushed stone, like a bag or two of crushed stone, you know, you can find like crushed limestone at a yard or something like that. Put it in there and then pack it in almost with a like a paint stick. You know, just you want to compact it down so it bridges that gap. And then there is a terrific caulking that is what's called a terra polymer material called Solar Seal. And you're probably going to buy a case of Solar Seal in gray, okay, to kind of match the concrete. And what I would suggest is you apply this caulking, fill the void, use a putty knife, like a plastic putty knife, to tool it. But you really, this is a very sticky product. It's not a acrylic-based, so you really get one chance to do this right. So I'd put masking tape on either side of the cracks so that if you pour too much of it in there, or squeeze too much of it in there, you know, you can peel the tape away and not have like a nasty mess on your hand. And that is probably the best product to use in a situation like that to give you the most performance so that when it's moving, it really does stretch and should stay in its place. But you cannot have more than a half an inch of depth. In a perfect world, it'd be like 3/8 of an inch max.
So not a self-leveling product itself?
The problem with the self-leveling products is they get hard, and so they don't stretch.
Gotcha.
And I just, you know, if you did it right, it would look beautiful right when you get it done, and then when winter comes, you'll be like, it's all going to pop out.
So what about inside the garage itself? I have some gaps as well,
you can use the same stuff.
Same stuff. And can I ask you a question about just regular caulk on windows and doors outside?
Sure.
I have some gap that may have never been filled from the original install. But what paintable product do you recommend there?
There, I mean, you know, if you go with a what they call a siliconized latex product, because it's typically a vertical surface like that, whether it's a DAP product or there's a company called White Lightning that makes a really good exterior caulking. There's also a company called Lexel, which I really like, and they make that. It's paintable, and it's super stretchy. Any one of those products, just make sure that it's clean and that you have some, if it's never been caulked before, make sure you have enough depth, you know, a good quarter of an inch, you know, maybe 3/8 of an inch to fill with the caulk. And the nice thing about the latex caulking is it's very easy to tool.
Sure. And can I ask you one more question,
Lou? Sure.
I have a radon mitigation white PVC pipe running up the side of my house.
Okay.
I want to try and paint that to match the stain on my cedar siding of the house. What do you recommend there?
Buy a quart of an exterior, you know, paint and primer in one paint. Benjamin Moore has it. They probably only need a quart. I would wipe down the plastic, okay, so that it's nice and clean. And then I would also take a little sanding sponge just to cut a little of the shine off of that pipe, okay, so that we – it doesn't have to be super rough, but – you know, if it's a smooth pipe now, I want to feel a little bit of it there. And then just paint it with the paint and primer in one, like a Benjamin Moore, you know, and the color to match. Just bring a piece, if you can spare a little piece of trim or something and bring it to the paint store or the hardware store, they can match it perfectly.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you very much about the driveway.
You got a lot to do before winter comes, my friend.
And does this harden or does this cure in how?
NPC solar, so it'll cure and it'll harden over in about 2 hours, and then it'll be fully cured in 24.
And the Terra Polymer, is there a brand?
The brand is Solar Seal. NPC Solar Seal.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, bud. I appreciate you calling this morning. Hey, in recognition of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by First Alert, protecting your whole home with safety you can trust at firstalert.com and your local Ace Hardware. It's 9:21 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. How may I help you?
I want to get some suggestions of getting rid of fruit flies.
Hmm. Yeah, this time of year, the fruit flies and the stink bugs are all over the place. There's a couple of different products out there, and I've had really good luck with this one in particular. It's called the Taro Flute. Are you getting rid of flutes? Do you have any flutes? Dude, you know, did you know that the fingering, if you're playing the flute, is the same as a saxophone?
Really? What about a recorder?
Not a recorder, a flute. The difference is the armature in your mouth. So using the flute is different. But the actual fingerings when you play a flute and a saxophone are the same. Now you know.
Yeah.
What were you calling about, Carol? Okay, fruit flies.
Right.
Not flute fries. They're Taro fruit fly traps. They look like, I think you can buy them in a 2-pack now. And it looks like a little apple. And they give you this delicious nectar that the fruit flies just think is awesome, and you pour a little bit in there and you stick it on the next to the fruit or whatever, and you want to rinse that fruit too, make sure that that's all ready to go. But then if you put it there, they're like, hey, that smells great, and they dive into the apple. And the one thing that they figured out is that fruit flies can't swim.
Okay.
And you can find that at the hardware store.
Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day. Let's speak with Ron, who is in Wonder Lake. Ron, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a problem. I end up cleaning my gutters in the fall 5 or 6 times because of all the trees in my area.
Okay.
But I'm getting too old to climb the ladder, and I see all these advertisements on TV, and I need some kind of a system that allows me not to have to climb the ladder anymore to clean my gutters.
I think that is a wise choice. And the thing is there's a ton of different products out there. The one that, you probably see a lot of ads for is a product called Leaf Guard. And that is a system that they replace your entire gutters. They have a cap. It's seamless. It is not an inexpensive proposition. So, I mean, that is thousands of dollars. But it's effective. So, I mean, I'm not poo-pooing it, but it's an investment. And quite frankly, I think it's an investment that when you go to sell your home, you would gain it back, like saying, oh, you know, they've got a new furnace and they're close to transportation, and oh, they got these gutter guards, they're really good. You know, you would benefit from that. But that being said, if your gutters are in decent shape, there are some really good products that they can go right over the top of it. And I was mentioning with a caller this morning earlier, on my home 20 some years ago, my buddy Bill Conforti and his company Cobblestone installed the leaf relief product on top of my oversized gutters. And it's an aluminum sieve that gets screwed onto the top of the gutter. And I haven't cleaned my gutters in 21 years.
Let me ask you, though, with this screen, doesn't the stems of the leaves get caught and they get stuck on these on this grill? And
I mean, occasionally that happens, but then it dries out and it blows away.
In other words, if they do fall in and they get stuck, the leaves, the stem gets stuck in the sieve, eventually it'll be blown away?
Correct. It'll dry up. And, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, does a little bit of debris still get into the gutter? Sure. But when it's just a little bit, when the water hits it, it goes down the downspouts and away we go. So,
do you have the phone number of this company?
Well, so I do. Where are you, Ron? In Wonder Lake?
Yes.
I don't know that they'll come all the way up there, but you could certainly give them a call. It's 773.
Yes.
661. 0606.
0606. And you said that this works, and you haven't been up and cleaned your own gutters then?
In 21 years.
That sounds good. I've seen this lifeguard on TV, and it sounds, I would imagine it's quite expensive.
It is, and it's a good product, don't get me wrong, but it's expensive, and that entails you replacing your gutters, because it's a whole new system.
Yeah.
But that's up to you. I mean, look, it costs you nothing to have them come and give you an estimate.
Sure. Do you have their phone number?
I do not, but I think if you go to, you know.
Yeah, it'll be in the phone. I'll find it.
Yeah.
But this Cobblestone, you said that it's worked for you. You haven't cleaned your gutter in 20 years?
21.
Well, I should look at. Yeah. In other words, they put something on top of the gutter and it stops most of the leaves, and if they get
caught,
that's
not a problem whatsoever.
Okay, that sounds good. Sounds good, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling. Have a great rest of your day. You know, October is Fire Prevention Month, so today's show is being sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. Book your chimney cleaning and inspection at cleanfireplace.com. When we come back after news, we're going to learn more about safety devices for your home to make sure you and your family are safe. Right now, it's time for WGN Radio News. Today's show is all about fire prevention and fire safety, but as far as I'm concerned, it should be 12 months a year that we're worrying about this. But specifically, I want to make sure that you have the right devices in your home to help keep you and your family safe. Joining me on the phone line is Ashley Gokin, who is the Senior Manager of Brand Marketing at First Alert. Ashley, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
I have to imagine that you, too, believe that this is something we should be focused on really every day of the year.
Yes, every day of the year, fire safety is so important. But October is Fire Prevention Month, so it's the perfect time to gather your family and discuss fire safety and the proper protection for your home.
I know that one of the things you folks at First Alert do is you talk about whole home safety. What does that mean when it comes to fire prevention?
Yeah, so whole home safety is so important. So that means just having the proper protection throughout your home. So installing your smoke and your carbon monoxide alarms on every level and in every bedroom. An easy way to remember that is every level, every bedroom. Mm. And then also on top of the alarms, having fire extinguishers. So fire extinguishers are also a critical part to your home safety plan. Have those on every level and then in common spaces like the kitchen and garage.
you know, people listen to this and they're like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, or I think my smoke detectors work. But like right now, someone's listening. What could they do today? You know, when they get done listening to us this morning, they're like, you know what? I was listening to Ashley and Lou, and I need to do something. And what am I going to do today to make a difference to make my home safer for myself and my family?
That's a very good point. So first off, install alarms on every level and in every bedroom. And then once they're installed, you need to make sure that you maintain them. So test your alarms regularly, replace the batteries at least every 6 months, or I would even recommend upgrading to 10-year sealed battery alarms. Now, these are my favorite because they eliminate battery replacements for an entire decade, so they're very convenient.
Do you see, I agree with you. I think that now that the technology with these 10-year batteries, it just, to me, makes so much more sense. I realize it's a little bit more of an investment for people, but when you think about what that detector can do, both as a smoke or a carbon monoxide or a combination, it's really pennies. But do you think we're going to get to a point in the near future where perhaps battery replacement, you know, those are going to get phased out?
I think there'll be all types of alarms available, but 10-year sealed battery alarms definitely help prevent the battery removal.
Yeah.
So these are very convenient. And again, they eliminate those battery replacements for a decade, those late night battery trips for a decade.
Right.
But you still should test them regularly to make sure everything's functioning properly.
You talk about those chirps, and really the idea right behind the 10-year battery is that at the end of the 10 years, you dispose of the entire device, and then you buy a new one. Now, with more traditional ones, how do you know when it's time to replace those devices?
Yes, yeah, so alarms are on duty 24/7. They need to be replaced at least every 10 years. And if you can't remember the last time you replaced your alarm, it's best just to replace the entire unit completely.
Right. Right. I know that there's, you know, there's a lot of the detectors now have a little sticker on it where you can write the date on it. I just went through actually last October and replaced all the smoke detectors in our home. And I actually just took a marker right on the outside and put the date that I installed it, you know, so that I could visually look up. And it's a reminder, which is not a bad thing to do. Okay. The detectors, of course, very important. Every floor is important. That's a great way to prepare your home in case there was a fire. But how do we ensure that, like, families and, you know, household members are prepared as well?
So it's so important that you have an emergency escape plan and practice it at least twice a year with your entire family. So with October being Fire Prevention Month, this is a perfect opportunity. So when you're planning your escape plan, make sure you plan a safe distance away from the home. Once you're outside, make sure you call 911.
Right.
And it's also important never to go back into a burning building. So that is one tip you should definitely remember.
What about people that have pets? You know, there's a lot of people that have pets. And any advice there when it comes to fire safety?
Yes. So we can't forget about pets. So make sure that you assign a member of your family to make sure that you have the pet and it gets out of the home safely as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, a lot of folks that are getting a little older, maybe are disabled individuals, family members in the home, I would imagine probably goes to somebody being assigned to those folks as well, right?
Yes. Make sure you include that in your fire safety plan as well. That's extremely important to make sure all members of the family are considered in your escape plan.
Mm. You mentioned earlier about fire extinguishers and those also have a life cycle too, right? I know that, you know, there's a little gauge on there that can tell you, you know, it'll be in the green, but is there any kind of maintenance or things that people should be aware of when it comes to fire extinguishers that they should be doing on a regular basis?
Yes, make sure you're checking that pressure gauge on your extinguisher, to your point. And then, of course, just make sure you know how to use it. So in the event that there is a fire in your home, it can be intimidating.
Yeah.
So remember that acronym PASS. That's a super easy way to remember it. So pull the pin, aim at the base, the nozzle at the base of the fire, you squeeze the trigger, and then you sweep from side to side. So
right.
PASS is a super easy way to remember how to use a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. A lot of people may have fire extinguishers, but if you've never used it before, like how much pressure it is or whatever, it isn't that it's difficult, but following those rules on how to use it can really make a difference on controlling a fire in your home. And I know that there are different fire extinguishers, right, based on the type of fire that there is, A, B, or C, when it comes to what you should have in your home.
Yes, there are different types of fire extinguishers. There's home fire extinguishers, commercial fire extinguishers. We also have an easy fire spray, which is just a point and spray fire extinguishing spray that is very easy to use as well.
Yeah, the Tundra, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Yes, easy fire spray.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good one. All right, Ashley, where do people go to find First Alert products and learn more information about how to keep their family safe this month and really every month of the year?
Yes, you can visit firstalert.com, and First Alert products are sold at retailers nationwide like Lowe's and Ace Hardware.
Ashley Gokin is the Senior Manager for Brand Marketing at First Alert. Ashley, it's always nice to speak with you and to remind people that these are small, simple steps to keep them safe in their home, not only during Fire Prevention Month, but every single day. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on House Smarts Radio.
Thanks so much, Lou. Have a great day.
You would never say to you have a lovely relationship with your mother-in-law. You would never say,
I disagree.
You know, this basement smells like a grandma's basement.
I disagree.
Really? You know what you would be? Uninvited.
A judger.
877, you're... All right. You're a judger. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Michael in Palatine. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. How may I help you, sir?
Well, I have a question about two of your favorite products. I recently had my wooden deck stained after it was sanded and pressure washed.
Okay.
And I asked the contractor to use my stain, which was Penofin, semi-transparent.
Okay.
Which was done last Tuesday, and it's all dry. And I then wanted to put wet and forget over the whole deck. And I wanted to know if there is any interaction between the two.
I do not want you to do that.
Okay.
So, because, I mean, not yet. The Penofin now, you know, it's in there, it's in the wood, and it has a natural mildecide in it. Is your deck covered by a lot of, does it get a lot of shade?
Yes. At this time of year, half the deck doesn't get sun.
Okay. Do not do that this year. If you're going to wet and forget it, which I love that product, that's a spring project.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let the Penofin, it takes a good 30 days for it to really get cured inside that wood, and you'll be fine for the winter. It'll protect it. It'll keep it in good shape. And then early spring, you know, take a look at how it looks, and if you want to apply the wet and forget to it then, that's what I want you to do.
Okay. Thanks for the advice.
You got it. Have a great day. Thank you so much for calling. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Hi, Beth. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thank you for taking my call, and I hope I don't have an unsolvable problem.
Me too.
Concerned. My daughter's dog, they came to visit, and I'm so happy about that, but her dog, after I baked some cookies, jumped up on the stove to get the cookies, of course, and then left scratches on my stainless steel stove. How do I get those out before my husband sees them?
There's a stainless steel kit. Berries. Come on, what is it? Berries what, Lindsay? Berries.
Berries Restore It All.
Berries Restore It All. It's a kit to help you restore the stainless steel. And you...
But the kit, that's the maker. The kit itself is called Scratch Be Gone.
Okay. Berries Restore All. Scratch Be Gone by Berry. And he's got his picture on everything. And if you follow the instructions and you don't overdo it, you'll bring it back to life. Chances are not before your husband sees it, but it will come back to life. I've done it.
He doesn't cook that much.
He doesn't cook that much. Okay, well, this does work, and it will do a really, really nice job. Scratch Be Gone.
Scratch Be Gone.
And I think if you...
Would that be available at Ace, do you think?
Maybe, but probably you're going to have to find it online to get it. So it works, I promise you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you to Andy. Thank you to Don. Thank you to Lindsay. Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. I hope you all have a terrific weekend. Remember, change the batteries in those smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors today. Stay safe. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.